This is lecture number 3, New Testament Greek for Beginners, by J. Gresham Machen. Now let's continue to talk about the general rules of accent, which are on page 14, paragraph 11 in your textbook. We wanted to discuss the length of the vowels and the ultima and that sort of thing. So we've already discussed, I believe, the circumflex accent cannot stand on a short syllable. It cannot stand on an omicron. The circumflex accent cannot stand on an omega. Cannot stand on a short alpha. Cannot be on a short iota or a short upsilon. And now the rule number 3 under general rules of accent. If the ultima is long, then number 1, the antepenult cannot be accented. I want to look at the word basileos in your examples there in your syllabus. Word basileos has 1, 2, 3, 4 syllables. Ba-si-le-os. Now, if the ultima is long, and the word basileos has an omega in the last syllable, so the ultima is long. The accent, if it is, the accent cannot go back to the C, the sigma iota. If the ultima is long, the accent cannot go back to that syllable. In the word, the next word, hagiadzo, again, the ultima is long, dzo. So, the accent cannot be placed on the g, on the third syllable, the antepenult, hagiadzo. It cannot be pronounced hagiadzo. If the ultima is long, the penult, if it is accented, remember the penult is the second syllable back, if it is accented, the only type of accent it can have is an acute accent. An acute, not a grave, not a circumflex, but an acute accent. The word hagiadzo, the dzo is a long syllable, a long vowel, so the accent cannot go back to the gi. The accent can be placed on the ah, and it can only be an acute accent. And that is exactly how this word would be accented, hagiadzo. Let's go back to the word previous to this, basileos. The omega is long. The accent cannot go to the C, and so if the accent is placed on the le, it can only be an acute accent. And that's exactly the way it is. The next word I would like for you to look at is the word agapao. Agapao. I'm sort of giving away where the accent is the way I'm pronouncing them, I'm sure. But notice the last syllable, omega. That's a long vowel. So the accent cannot go back to the antepenult, the ga, and if it is placed on the pa, it can only be an acute accent, and that's exactly where it is. The word is pronounced agapao, and the accent is an acute accent on the alpha of that syllable, pa. Looking at the next word, archieros. Archieros, we said this word meant high priest. Notice this word has a long ultima, rus. Epsilon iota, remember, is a diphthong, and it is long. So the accent cannot go back to the key. If the penult is accented, that epsilon before rus, if that is accented, it can only have the acute accent. However, in this case, the correct accent would be an acute accent on the rus, and we'll find out why later on that. But archiere rus, the rus would not have a circumflex accent on it. One more, for example, here is the word dikaiosune. Dikaiosune. The ultima is long. The omicron cannot be accented because the ultima is long. If the penult is accented, it can only have an acute accent. And so this word is pronounced, it is accented, dikaiosune. The accent could go on the ne, on the ultima, but it is not. It is dikaiosune. And again, we will discuss this later. I think that's sufficient on the examples for that. He does give some examples under this example 3. In the textbook, he says rule 3A, which is if the ultima is long, the antipenult cannot be accented. He says rule 3 would be violated if the word were accented apostolo, because the omega with the iota subscript is a long ultima and the accent cannot go back to the apol. Or he says apostolu, apostolu. The omicron upsilon in apostolu is a long ultima, and so the accent cannot go back to where it is placed on these words because the ultimas are long in both words. He says, however, further discussion, apostole is not violating the rules because the epsilon is a short vowel. And the accent can go back to the third syllable, which is apostale, apostale. And also, apostoloi, the omicron iota, remember the exception to the length of diphthongs? The only exception is the omicron iota. And this is a short diphthong in this case, apostoloi. So the accent can go back to apostoloi because the ultima is short. However, he doesn't give this example, but let's go one step further. If the apostoloi had a sigma on the end of that word, then the accent, the ultima would be long, and the accent could only be on the tau, on the penult of that word. He also says that the rule 3B, and let's look at that, rule 3B is this: if the ultima is long, the penult, if it is accented at all, must have the acute. And so he gives the example of dulu, and notice he has a circumflex accent on the delta omicron upsilon, when the last syllable, the ultima, is also a long syllable. You cannot have a circumflex on the penult if the ultima is long. And the final omicron upsilon on dulu is a long ultima. So that is incorrect. Same thing is true of dulone. Omega nu is long. And so the accent on this word must be just an acute accent over the upsilon in that diphthong. But notice he says that the rule is not violated by the words doulos, because the omicron sigma is short and the penult can have a circumflex accent on the penult if the ultima is long. And also douloi, the omicron iota is short, and so douloi can correctly have a circumflex on dou. Again, if a sigma were on the end of that word, then this would be incorrect, because then with the sigma on ois and making the word ois or lois, then you could only have an acute accent on the do. By the way, you might like to know that the word doulos is the word for slave, bond slave, or servant. And this word, of course, is used many times in the Apostle Paul's writings. Another rule we have is this. If the ultima is short, a long penult, if it is accented at all, must have a circumflex. And the word we had above here, he continues the example, in fact, into this paragraph. Doule, notice the epsilon is a short syllable, and so the do, since it is long, must have a circumflex. Same with douloi. In cases where a word only has two syllables, just two syllables, an ultima and a penult, if the ultima is short, then, and if the penult is to be accented, and they're not always accented, and those rules will come later, but if the ultima is short, the penult, and the penult is long, then the penult would have a circumflex. It's the only thing that it can't have. Rule number five, a long ultima can have either the acute or the circumflex accent. It can have either an acute or a circumflex accent. This is just a rule that you need to remember for the present time. You will be referring back to these rules quite frequently. We could look at the list of words that we have been working on. Let's go to those rules. The second word, idone. The done could have a circumflex on that omega, or it could have an acute accent. The next word is acusantes. The epsilon is short, so that doesn't figure into our discussion. Sunagoge, the ge is the ultima, and that can have either a circumflex or an acute accent on it. The next word that I see that has a long ultima is the word anablepo, and the po is long, so if this word could be accented on the ultima, then it could have either an acute or a circumflex accent. Now let's go on to his example at the top of page 15 in your book. His example is adelphu, and he says that adelphu can have either a circumflex or it can have an acute. Both of these accents conform to the general rules that we are now discussing. These are all general rules of accent. They are guidelines. They are rules that you must follow and will not be violated. And you will be referring to them many times. The last rule under the general rules of accenting, an acute accent on the last syllable of the word is changed to a grave accent when it's followed without intervening punctuation, intervening mark of punctuation, by other words in a sentence. If there is no comma, no question mark, nothing but another word following, and the word has an acute accent, that accent would then be turned the other way to be a grave accent. In his example here, adelphos apostolou, and the word the adelphos, which by the way means brother, that accent on phos is changed to an acute accent, as he illustrates there. The heading of this paragraph that we have been studying is General Rules of Accent. General Rules. These rules do not really tell us where the accent should be. They only tell us where it can't be or even where it can be, but it does, these general rules do not tell us where the accent will in fact be. And those rules of where it is to be are covered in the next sections on the rule of verb accent and the rule of noun accent. Here is where we get down to specifics. The rule of verb accents. There is one major rule for verb accents, and that is the first sentence that Machen has put under paragraph 13. Verbs have recessive accents. The word recessive means that the accent will always try to go back as far as it can. Always tries to get back to the very first syllable that you pronounce. Now, we already know that the accent cannot go back to the fourth syllable because Greek words do not have accents on the fourth syllable, that is, from the end. The ultima, the penult, and the antepenult, those are the only syllables that can be accented. If there is a syllable before the antepenult, you can forget that because it will not have an accent mark on it. It may have a breathing mark, but it will not have an accent. So this is the major rule about a verb accenting. The accent always wants to go back as far as is possible on the word. His explanation, the rule means that in verbs, the accent goes back as far as the general rules of accent will permit. The general rules prevail, but the accent is trying to get back as far as it can. That means if the ultima is long, the antepenult cannot have an accent. But if the ultima is short, in verbs, the antepenult can be and will be accented, in fact. If the ultima is short and it's only a two-syllable verb, then to be sure, if there's a two-syllable word, two-syllable verb, then the accent is bound to go on to the penult. It can go back to the penult. So that is the rule for verbs. Now, let's see. Yes, we have some examples here. Looking at these very same words, you're going to be very familiar with these words. Menos, menos. This is not a verb, but it is a verbal noun. Now, looking back at the examples that we have been looking at before, I'd like to look at some of the verbs that I have included in this list and talk about the accenting according to the rule of verb accenting. The first verb that we have that I want to discuss is the word apostello. Apostello. Notice that it has 1, 2, 3, 4 syllables. A-po-stel-lo. This is a verb. I send away. The ultima of this verb, lo, is a long ultima, a long syllable. And the general rules of accent say, if the ultima is long, the antepenult cannot be accented. So where would you guess the accent is supposed to go here? Well, of course, it goes on the stel. Apostello. Apostello. Backing up one word there, anableppo. You notice that the final syllable, the ultima, is a long syllable, po, anableppo. Where would the accent go? Back as far as it can, but the general rules of accent say that it can only go back to the bleh, to the bleh. Let's look at luo. Luo. lambda, upsilon, omega. The ultima is long. This word means I loose. So the accent can only go back to the penult, but here is a word that only has two syllables, lu, o. And so the accent can only go back to the lu. But if the ultima is long, the penult, if it is accented at all, must have the acute accent. The next word, luo, to I wash. And of course, it's the same as the word before. Luo, the accent has to go on the penult, which is, and it will be an acute accent. On over a couple of words, the word hagiadzo. Hagiadzo. Again, the accent can only go back to the penult because the accent, the ultima, is long, and you cannot go back farther than the penult if the ultima is long. You might like to know that this word, hagiadzo, means I sanctify, I consecrate, or I hallow. And this word would be found in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. Agapao, you can only go back to the pa, to the penult. So these show you that when you are conjugating verbs in the present tense, and that's what these verbs are, you can only go back to the penult in the first person, and that is the penult just before the omega. That is a rule. Now, there are other verbs, there are other tenses, there are other persons in the verbs, and we will be conjugating verbs in the next lesson, and you'll be exercising your knowledge of the verb accents. Then there are the special rules that have to do with noun accents, and these are very different from the verb accents. The rule of noun accenting is that the accent tries to stay on the same syllable throughout as it is found on the form that you find in your dictionary. In the nominative case of the verbs, this is the case, this is the word as you find it in your lexicon. The accent will be fixed, and it always tries to stay on that same syllable throughout. In nouns, the accent remains on the same syllable as in the nominative singular. So nearly as the general rules of accent will permit. Are you seeing how important it is to memorize the general rules of accent? When you do that, you actually only have two other rules to memorize. The one for verb accenting is that the accent always tries to go back as far as it can, but with the nouns, it always tries to stay where it was on the original form. So, let's see, I see six rules under the general rules of accent, and then these two rules for verbs and nouns. Now, I would like for you to turn to paragraph 31 in Machen. This is on page 24 in your textbook. Turn there to paragraph 31. You see there the declension of anthropos, ha. It means a man, or actually it means the man. The ha, the omicron with a rough breathing mark over it, is the definite article, and it means the. And you will see this written in your vocabularies. That is to tell you that this is a masculine noun. That's all you need to know about it right now. What I've asked you to turn to this paragraph for is to see the word anthropos and what we call declensions. Greek nouns have declensions, and a declension is a case. We call these the different cases: nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, and vocative. We will talk more about these when we get to this particular chapter. Right now, what I want you to see is where the accent is on each of these words in anthropos. Notice anthropos, that is the word found in your lexicon, and the accent is on the on. Now, looking at the syllables of the word, the ultima is pos, the penult is thro, and the antepenult is on. The rule of noun accents is that the accent tries to stay, in this case, on the on, which is the antepenult. So throughout this running these words through these declensions, through this declension, you are trying to keep the accent on the same syllable. But in some cases, that is not possible. Notice the second form, G-E-N. The first word, nom, N-O-M, means nominative. And this is explained in your text. The next word is genitive, or G-E-N is genitive. This is the case. And notice where the accent is, anthropou. Notice the ultima is long, and the accent cannot go back beyond the penult. It can't get back to the antepenult because the ultima is long. Notice the next word, the dative case, anthropo. You remember the improper diphthongs that we had? Well, here is the omega with the iota subscript, and that is always long. And this is a long ultima, so the accent cannot get back beyond the penult. It cannot get back to the antepenult. So, anthropo, anthropo. The next word, however, the next case, the accusative case, notice that the ultima on this word is, the ultima is short. Anthropon. If the ultima is short, the accent can go back to the antepenult, and indeed that's where it is, anthropon. Then, anthrope. The pe, a short ultima, allows the accent to go back to the antepenult, where it wanted to go, anthrope. In the next line, anthropoi, anthropoi. A correction here then. We need to stop with the pronunciation of anthrope, and where I said going to the next line, or the next column, we'll start there. That beeper sounded too loudly. The next column is anthropoi, anthropoi, and notice the poi is short, does not have a sigma on it, and so it is a short diphthong. Doesn't have a sigma. A sigma would make it long. And so this is a short syllable, a short ultima, and the accent can go back to the antepenult. Now, anthropoi. The next form is anthropone. Anthropone. The pone, the ultima is long. The accent cannot go back to the antepenult. And so, on the long ultima and the long penult, the accent must be an acute accent on the thro, anthropone. But now notice the next form, anthropois. Here the ultima is long. It is an omicron iota, but it also has a sigma, and that makes it a long ultima. So the accent can go no further than the penult. Anthropois. Anthropois. And the last form, anthropous. Anthropous. The omicron upsilon sigma is long, and so the accent can only go to the penult. Anthropous. Anthropous. I hope this helps you to understand the rules of noun accenting just a little bit. Practice, they say, makes perfect, but only if you're practicing perfectly. So as an exercise, I'm asking you now to do the exercises in Machen's book, paragraph 15. Do what he says there. Write the following verb forms with the accent, and then pronounce them, starting with number one, eluamen, and so forth, and put an accent on those, and then go to Roman numeral two. Accent the following forms of the nouns, and he gives you the nominative singular, which is the key to accenting, apostolos, kome, and ploion. And do those exercises, and then we will continue our discussion. Now, before I assigned you to go do the exercise in your book, I should have said to you to check the answers in your syllabus. Check in your syllabus the answers to the exercises of Lesson 2. I have given you a lot of extra information in your answers of this exercise to explain in each case in writing why the answer is right or wrong or whatever. So I trust that you have already done that. If not, please turn your tape recorder off and go check your answers and be sure you understand why the accenting is as it is when it is correct. If you don't understand, I would recommend that you read over this chapter, this lesson in Machen again, and listen to the tape discussion about the accents. Before you go on to the next chapter, please be sure that you have in mind all of the material that we have covered up to this time. All information that you study in Greek is cumulative. That means one part builds on another part. So you must know what has come before, or you certainly will not understand what is coming later. So review, review, review. Memorize, memorize, memorize. Now when you are satisfied, we will be starting with lesson number 3. Lesson number 3 is concerning verbs. Just verbs now in these 1, 2, 3 pages. Present active indicative. What does present active indicative mean? In paragraph 17, the text says that the Greek verb has tense, voice, and mood. Now, sometimes this word is called mode, as if it were pronounced or spelled M-O-D-E. And he says, like verbs in other languages have tense, either present tense, or past tense, or perfect tense, or future tense. In this chapter, in this lesson, we are studying the present tense. In later chapters, we will learn some other tenses, even tenses in Greek that we do not have in English. Voice. And voice means whether or not the subject is performing the action of the verb. I hit the man. That is an active voice. I hit. There is another voice which we will, there are two more voices which we will talk about later. And indicative mood. Present, active, indicative, mood. This makes an assertion. It states a fact. It is not a command. It isn't telling somebody to do something. It isn't a wish. I wish I were this or that or the other. It is simply saying the dog is black, or the cat is white, or the man is tall. And that is the indicative mood. It's just a very simple statement of fact, not a wish and not a command. The present active indicative of the verb luo. I mentioned to you earlier that you would become very well acquainted with this word luo, lambda upsilon omega, meaning I loose. And again, memorize. You must be able to conjugate. Conjugate a verb means to go through the verb in a particular tense, in this case the present tense, and give the first person, the second person, the third person singular, the first person, the second person, and the third person plural. You notice here he has in the first column S-I-N-G. That means singular, only one person. In the second column, P-L-U-R means plural, P-L-U-R-A-L. And that means two or more people. There is no duo or for two people in Greek as there is in Hebrew. So you must learn luo. That verb means I loose or I am loosing. And this is the form of the verb that you always find in your lexicon, your Greek-English dictionary. The next form, luês, luês, thou loosest or thou art loosing. Now, in our times, there is a very big tendency to use the word you and not use the word thou. You know, the New King James Version and other versions that use you instead of thou, as the old King James did. When Machen wrote his grammar, by the way, there were very few other versions, and the couple of versions that there were, they used the word thou. Machen's book was originally copyrighted in 1923, and this was the day before the plethora of modern translations. So perhaps if Machen were writing today, he would put you loose for the second person singular, or he would put you are loosing, and then maybe he would put in parenthesis SG for singular. The thou and the ye make it much easier to know what you're saying, whether it is singular or plural. But modern usage sort of does away with this distinction. So when you're translating, you must indicate whether or not you mean one person or two persons or two people. Luês. Luê. Luo, luês, luê. And you will get to where you can say luo, luês, luê, and the rest of it too. Luomen, luomen. We loose, we are loosing. Luete, luete. Ye loose, ye are loosing. Luusi, luusi. They loose, or they are loosing. Now, perhaps you have observed that there is no I, thou, he, we, ye, they spelled out here. And this is the way it is ordinarily in Greek. There are times when there will be a pronoun I, a pronoun thou, a pronoun he, we, you, they. But normally, and most of the time, I should say, there will not be a pronoun. How will you know that the verb means I loose, or thou loosest, or he looses, we, ye, they loose? Simply by the end of the verb. A luo would never be pronounced they loose, or we loose. Luês would never be pronounced you loose, or luê, would never be pronounced ilus. The verb endings, oase, almen, eta, usi, always indicate first, second, third, first, second, third persons. So when you see lue, you're going to say in your mind, he looses, or he is loosing. Or luete, you just automatically know from the ete that it is ye loose, or ye are loosing. In paragraph 20, he says virtually the same thing that I have just now said, except he gives it a name. The part of the verb that stays the same throughout. You notice in the conjugation in paragraph 18, there's always a lu, lambda upsilon, and that is called the stem of the verb. Every verb has a stem for each tense, each voice, each mood. Each verb, every verb has a stem on which everything else is added. He gives the example, lego, in this same paragraph, 20 here. Thus, the present stem of lego is lambda, epsilon, gamma. And when you're conjugating lego, which we will do shortly, you will always have lambda, epsilon, omega, and then these endings are added on to that. The section about primary personal endings and primary tenses, you can ignore this little paragraph at the present time. It will come up later, but at the present, it's not necessary that you spend any time with it. In paragraph 18, we've already discussed the fact that luo means I loose or I am loosing. This is a very important aspect of translating in the New Testament, whether something is done or it is being done. And you will be meeting this again in later chapters. Context is how you determine whether to translate I loose or I am loosing. Look back in paragraph 16 and let's pronounce the vocabulary, which you must memorize. I'd recommend you use little cards and put the Greek word on one side, the English translation on the other. So let's go through and translate or pronounce these words. Blepo, which means I see. Blepo. Ginosko. Ginosko, I know. Grapho. Grapho, I write. Phonograph. Photograph. Telegraph. All use the form of this word, which means to write. Didasko. Didactic. I teach. Lambano, lambano, I take. Lego, lego, I say. Lego, lego. Luo, echo, echo. I have an echo. Use any kind of a gimmick you can think of to memorize the vocabulary. It is of utmost importance that you memorize the vocabulary. We will stop at this point. But in our next lecture, we will continue to discuss this chapter for just a few minutes before you are given an assignment.